Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Easter Sunday was 2 weeks ago now, but today we continue to spend time with another story of the unfolding of the Easter miracle. The resurrection is just too big to get into just one day, isn't it? We spent the season of Lent preparing for it, those 40 days plus Sundays, preparing for the day of Easter, for the arrival of the resurrection. And the church spends 50 more days in the season we call Eastertide, processing what it means to say that Jesus Christ is risen, is resurrected. But the disciples at the center of today's scripture passage from Luke, they don't yet know that the miracles happened at the start of the story. Cleopas and his unnamed companion spend hours with their teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, without realizing who it was they were talking to. And it makes me wonder, why was that, do you think? Why didn't they recognize their teacher, the one they had placed such high hopes in? Perhaps it was something as simple as a traveler's cloak pulled down low over his face, something like the disguise costume that Pastor Mindy was wearing during the children's sermon. Perhaps it was their grief that clouded their downcast eyes, that kept them from searching the face of the fellow traveler well enough to allow them to recognize him. Or maybe some power of God that prevented them from perceiving Jesus' identity until they were really ready to see him, ready to believe that he had risen, that he could be risen for that matter. After all, they didn't think such a thing was possible. In any case, it might remind us of the truth of the philosopher Kierkegaard's words, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." Or to put it more simply, in more common parlance, hindsight is 20/20. In any case, the disciples bound for Emmaus only knew Jesus for an instant before he disappeared. The meaning-making process was much slower and happened only after the events unfolded. And this reminds me of an experience of mine when I was in high school. I had just flown in an airplane for the first time in my life as a 16-year-old, and I was on my way to a conference in Washington, D.C. for students who were interested in studying journalism. My first plane trip and my nervous excitement about what was to come was so overwhelming that I hardly knew what to do with myself. And at one point, in the baggage claim area of the Dulles Airport, having landed in Washington, with all the excitement of the unknown experiences about to come, foremost in my mind, I noticed a man who seemed remarkably familiar, so much so that I kind of did a double take, trying to say, do I know this person? He seems awfully familiar. And then I started to ask, I'm staring, I probably shouldn't. And so I tried to just put it out of my mind and go on. A few days later, though, I remembered who it was when I was at the Capitol complex and saw this man again. It was the congressman for my district. And I felt kind of silly. I had seen his face many times before in the newspaper, on TV. I knew quite well who he was. But in the moment, I couldn't recognize him. I was just relieved that I hadn't done anything too embarrassing or rude back at the airport. And I realized that it was only once he was in the context in which I would expect to see him, that I easily recognized him. Now, my relief that I hadn't done anything too strange or rude in front of my congressman was probably nothing compared to that of the relief of the disciples Cleopas and his companion, that they had offered Jesus hospitality in Emmaus, in that little village at the end of the journey, rather than letting him continue on alone. Now, this hospitality was the appropriate thing to do in their culture, but it wasn't just about good manners. Hospitality was important for safety in those days. Traveling alone at night was not a safe thing to do. They didn't have cell phones they could whip out to call for help if something happened. But hospitality does so much more than just preserve safety. As we see in this story, welcoming the one that they thought was a stranger and breaking bread together, sharing a meal and fellowship together, that is what made relationship possible. We can't really know those we keep at arm's length. We have to allow the stranger to come close in order for that stranger to become a friend. We have to create the opportunity for intimacy. Those two disciples in the story didn't know what they were doing at the time, didn't realize who they were welcoming. And only days before, Jesus had prayed for God to forgive those who put him on the cross, saying, "They know not what they are doing." In both cases, the people involved didn't understand the implications of their actions. How often in life, for all of us, do we not understand the depth of implication of what we do in our day-to-day lives? But what a contrast in those two instances in the scripture. What a contrast between the disciples acting out of love and welcoming the stranger. What a contrast with those who crucified Jesus, who were motivated by fear and anger and out to protect their own self-interest. Meanwhile, the Emmaus disciples sought to help another person who could be vulnerable traveling alone. Those fearfully trying to protect themselves caused harm to the other. But those who opened their hearts to welcome another had their eyes opened, and they saw the face of their risen Savior. What a contrast. Our motivations can have implications far beyond what we can imagine. May we be like those Emmaus disciples today. This is an example of those earliest disciples who would one day be known as Christian, and the example of the one we all follow, who also welcomed the stranger, the outcast, the vulnerable. May our hearts be open to those who need our help. May we speak words of loving kindness and mercy. When we do so, we ourselves will be transformed. And we will have the good news to share with others and joy beyond belief. May it be so. Amen.